Amen. What a powerful song. Thank you, Tom. I'm sure probably some of you this morning find yourself in the midst of it all. If you take your Bibles again, please, and turn with me to John 14, John's Gospel in the 14th chapter, and then keep your finger in John 14 as we move around and look at some other verses. John 14, page 1136 in your Scofield Bible. Verse number 28, John 14, verse 28. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye love me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father. For my Father is greater than I. I want to pull out a phrase in that verse as the text this morning. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the blessings that we've had. And Lord, no doubt there's a number of folks here who are in the midst of it all, folks going through all kinds of things. But I pray for these next few minutes, we'll forget about all of those things and we'll concentrate on the preaching of your word. I pray you'll give me the power to preach your word. I pray you'll give the folks the ears to hear. I pray if there's one outside of Christ that they, with the invitation, will give their hearts and lives to him. I pray for those who may be a little bit cold towards spiritual things. I pray that you'll heat up their hearts today. I pray you'll do a work in everybody, including myself, in these next few minutes. Bind Satan again from our midst and from our minds. And may the Holy Spirit have preeminence and the power to move and work in our midst today. In Jesus' name, amen. The loving Jesus saw a shade of sadness fall upon the face of his 12 disciples while he talked to them about his soon departure. So he needs to try and comfort them concerning their sorrow and his going away from them, that he would no longer be with them in the flesh, that he was going to die. I want you to notice how skillfully and how wisely he drew up on their love in his most trying hour that he was soon going to face, and that was the cross. He knew they loved him, and so he said, if you love me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go to the Father. He touched them upon a point in which they were very tender. If anything would move them to comfort, it would be his appeal to their loyal love. Now, he had appealed to their love before this. Look there in John 14 and verse number 15. John 14 and verse 15. And he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. But now in softer, sweeter, tender tones, he seems to say, if you love me, stop your sorrow and begin to rejoice. Let's pick it up, the last part of verse 27 of John 14. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye love me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father. I want you to notice what Peter said to the Lord at another time, keeping your finger in John 14, and go over a few pages to your right to John 21. John 21, page 1146. And look with me at verse number 16, John chapter 1, 21, John 21 and verse 16. He saith to me again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. We are the sheep. He is the great shepherd. He knows all things. He knows if you love him. He knows if I love him. He knows everything. So he says to his disciples, just as surely as you love me, you would rejoice and not be sorrowful for this one reason. I'm going to leave you, but I'm going to go back to my Father. Oh, what a blessed Lord and Master we serve, those of us who love him. And loving us as he does. He wants us in this life to have peace and find comfort, knowing that he loves us and knowing that he cares for us. Notice again the text for this morning. If you love me, you would rejoice, Because I said unto the Father, I go back to my Father. I'm going back to my Father. I'm going to leave this earth, but I'm going back to my Father. Notice again, verse 28. If you love me, ye would rejoice because I'm going home. I'm going to the Father. If we are to understand a lot that's in our Bibles and about peace and comfort that we see and what we want, and we should see things in this life as Christ sees them. We're never going to make much of this life and all the problems and all the tribulations and all the trials that come our way unless we can focus on them and look at them as Christ sees them. Christ told his disciples that he was going to die, and upon his death, he was going to go to the Father. I want you to notice what he says on another occasion, keeping your finger in John 14. Go back to your left to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew's Gospel, the 20th chapter, and you'll find that on page 1027. 1027, Matthew chapter 20. Look with me at verses 18 and 19, please. Matthew 20, 18 and 19. Again, the Lord is speaking, and he says, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him. Now that was said earlier, but now it is different. The Lord looks at it now in a different light. His view now is, I'm going to the Father. Oh, how our hearts would grow happy if we could just see things as Christ sees them. If we could just see things in the light that Christ sees them. Christ sees through things. You and I look at them. And when we look at them, we see Pilate. We see Herod. We see the judgment seat. We see the scourging. We see the nails. We see the crown of thorns. We see the spear. We see the sepulcher. But Jesus looks past all of those things, and he sees the Father's throne and himself exalted upon it. Could we not sometimes try to see things in Christ's light by looking through them? Possibly there are some here this morning that have an affliction of some kind. And it's not joyous to say the least. It is grievous. But dear folks, soon you will come to the peaceable fruits of righteousness. Can we look past the present and look at the future? Can we take our eyes off our current troubles and see them as Jesus did? Do we always have to look at things as they are now instead of where we're heading for? The way may be rough, but it cannot be very long, and one of these days it's going to come to an end, and then follows that will be an eternity of love and joy and peace and happiness and contentment. That job that you have to go to tomorrow may not be the best job in the world. Maybe you're not looking forward to going to that job. Let me show you why you think that at times. Keeping your finger in John 14, go back to the book of beginnings, and that's the book of Genesis, the third chapter. Genesis chapter 3, way back to the front of the Bible. Genesis 3, page number 9. I'm going to pick it up at verse number 17. Genesis 3, verse 17. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. And thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and into dust thou shalt return. That's why so many people don't like their jobs. That's why so many people don't like to work. That's why maybe you don't like going to go to work tomorrow. But you're going to have to do that anyway. But you don't want to. You don't like it. Why? Because God put a curse back in Genesis upon this old earth, upon the ground of this earth. And he's not going to remove that curse until he takes us home to glory. So when you go to work tomorrow, concentrate on the future that Christ is preparing for those who know him as Lord and Savior. Turn back with me again to our text verses, keeping your finger in John 14, to Colossians, the scriptures we read a little while ago. Colossians chapter 3, page 1264. Colossians chapter 3, and look with me at verses 1 and 2. Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Dear folks, if we are going to cope with all the difficulties and problems and heartaches of this life, we're going to have to quit focusing up on them and focus up on what's going to be one day out there in the future. Dear folks, we have to see what the Lord wants us to see. Now, our road to heaven may be tough, it may be rough, but it could never be as bad as what His road was. He had to suffer more than you and I will ever suffer. He had to swim through the seas of blood and go through the agonies of hell, and yet He looked beyond it all and said, I'm going to go to the Father. If I can get you folks this morning to see things as Christ sees them, then you will see the end as not just the beginning and the middle. You will see the end, and you will be comforted by that to know what's going to happen one day soon. When we see Christ as Christ sees them, we will be able to bear all things. He said to His disciples, in effect, if you could see my death as I see it, as going to the Father, you would rejoice. He sees the ultimate result, but we need to see the same thing. Take that heartache that you have this morning and look past that heartache and see what Christ is going to accomplish through it. Maybe God has given you what you think is a mountain to climb, and all you can see is that huge mountain and the impossibility of climbing it. But look at it as Christ looks at it. Look at the top of the mountain and the joy that awaits you when you reach it. If you're in darkness and you see no light, then look through the window of faith as Christ would do. What does the Lord see as coming out of your present affliction? There's not a better Christian rule than this one. What would Jesus do? If your cupboard is pretty well empty and you got 5 mouths to feed and it's a few days before payday, what would Jesus do? Maybe a close relative of yours is living in deep sin, has forsaken the Lord and has forsaken God's house, and your heart is broken. What would Jesus do? If sorrow has come knocking on your door, how would you deal with this sorrow? How would He deal with it if it were His very own? Try to think of your own case this morning. Whatever it is, think of it as Christ would think of it. Then I think you'll find the major part of your sorrow will be transformed into joy. All of this has to do with Jesus and is joyous when seen as He sees things. If you would understand His passion, you would see His glory. If you would understand His tomb, you would see His resurrection. If you would understand His death, you would see His throne. Then another thing I want you to see this morning is that our love ought to go to Jesus. He says, if you love me, you would rejoice. I don't know who you love the most or what you love the most, but it ought to be the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you loved Him, He says you'd be rejoicing. Most of us love the salvation that He's given to us, but we should love Him. We love this church building that the Lord gave to us some 7 years ago. We love this building, but we should love Him. We love this book called the Bible. We do love it, but we ought to love Him. We should love Him because He's the one who gave us our salvation and oh, the awful price He had to pay for it. We should love this church for His sake. We should love the Bible because the Bible's all about Him. All of us should open up the gates of our love and let the full tide come toward Jesus. Oh, how we should love Him. First of all, He's the source of all of our benefits. So in loving Him, you value the benefits, but you trace them to their fountainhead. Should we love the gift more than we love the giver? Some 54 years ago, I took my sweetheart, my wife-to-be, and we went down to Stewart's Jewelry Store on Columbia Street, just across from the courthouse. Maybe some of you might remember it. We were going down to look for her an engagement and wedding ring. And so we looked at several of them. Finally, she found one that she likes. And said, these are the ones I want. I dug into my pocket and took out $500 and paid for them. That was a lot of money in those days, and they're worth a lot more today. Oh, how she loves those rings. She won't take them off except on Saturday night when I clean them, as I did last night. She loves those rings. But should she love those rings more than she loves me who gave her those rings? No, but she probably does. We must love the very person of Jesus, the God-man, Emmanuel, God with us. Let him stand before us this morning so we can see the scars of honor in his flesh, the triumph in his eyes, and love him as the source of our hope, our pardon, our life, and our future glory. By loving him, we learn to prize all of his gifts all of the more. He that loves the giver values the smallest gift for the giver's sake. Your love to the person of Jesus will not make you think less of the benefits which he bestows upon us, but infinitely more. When we love Christ, it will cause us to value all that he gives to us. Loving Jesus, we have him for our own. He belongs to us, and what a blessing that is. A man may love fame and not have it, but he that loves Christ has Christ. Love him, and you will love the souls of mankind. Love him, and you will love his people. No one ever loved Christ, ever, who didn't love their brothers and sisters in Christ. Because he who loves the head will also love the body. If you still got your finger in John, keep it there and go to 1 John, back toward the end of the Bible. 1 John chapter 5, page number 1225. 1 John chapter 5, and look with me at verse number 1. 1 John 5, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. Now we know we love the Lord Jesus Christ when we love the brethren. Love Christ and you will have a possession that will last forever. When everything else fails, love never fails. 1 Corinthians 13:8. When the sun shall be darkened and the stars fall from heaven like withered leaves, he that loves Jesus shall still go on to love and find that love in his heaven. Remember, if you love the Son, the Father's going to love you. Go back to where you kept your finger in John 14 and go to your right a couple of pages to John 16, just a page over. John 16 and look at verse 27. The Lord is speaking. In verse 27, he says, "For the Father himself love you because ye have loved me and have believed that I came out from God." Oh, how God the Father loves his Son. And if we love his Son, we can't love him like the Father does. But if we love his Son, the Father's going to bestow his love upon us. There is no lover of Christ that equals the love that the Father has for him. Go back to, if you're still there in John, keeping your finger there, but go back to the third chapter, John 3, and look with me at verse number 35, John chapter 3 and verse number 35. John 3, 35. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. Oh, how the Father loves the Son, and the Father wants us to love him also. Therefore, love the Son and yield all honor to him, even as the Father does. You want to know something, dear folks? Those of us who know Christ, one day soon, we are going to be married to Christ. Those of us who are his bride, he is our groom, we're going to be married to him. And what is a marriage without love? We are a member of his body. Shall we not love the head? Shall not the foot love the head? God forbid that we should be without love to Jesus Christ. We should love his altogether lovely person. May God the Holy Spirit work in us abundantly to love Jesus, who tenderly says, "If you love me, you would rejoice." The next thing I want you to see is that sometimes our sorrow puts a question mark on his love. Do you see the reason that the apostles were very sorrowful? It was because they were not seeing things as Christ saw them. So whatever sorrow is in your heart this morning, it might put an if on your love to Christ. Maybe your sorrow is a loss of some earthly thing, and it's bothering you terribly, and it has put an if upon your love for Christ. Maybe you've lost your dearest friend, and it's torn you up on the inside, and that loss has left you without joy. May I ask you a question? Have you lost your Savior? I thought you called him your best friend. I thought he was everything to you. I thought he was your altogether lovely one. Are the songs that we come and sing in church, do they come from your heart? Then, dear burdened heart, cast all your care upon him, and he will put an end to your sorrow. You may be having some physical problems or fear that illness is coming. You may be in pain or weak and your heart is heavy. Then let me ask you a question. Who permitted the sickness? Who permitted the pain? Who permits the heavy heart? Whose will is it that you feel the way you do? Is not your grief the Lord's will? If you love him, let him have his way with you. Do you realize that in his love, sometimes he sends afflictions? Does your murmuring put a question mark on his love and your love for him? Several years ago, I was talking to a Christian man, and he told me he was 2 months behind in his mortgage payment, 2 months behind in his car payment, and a month behind in another bill. And he said, "I'm sorry, Pastor, but I'm going to have to take my tithe for quite a while and pay those bills." He had trusted in the Lord before, but since some difficult time had come into his life, he questions God's love for him and his love for Christ. Now, I think he still loves the Lord, but I don't think he loves the Lord as the Lord deserves to be loved. Maybe you cannot forgive God for taking that little baby in death, or that husband, or that wife, or that parent, or that child. Let me ask you a question. Who has them? Where are they? Who are they with? Your children were just lent to you, weren't they? They belong to the Creator God. And should we fret because he has his own with him now? I say to you folks, it puts an if upon your love. Not on the existence of it, but on the degree of it. If you truly loved him, you would rejoice that he sees the travail of your soul and has his saints with him in glory. Finally, I want you to see this. Christ's honor should be dearer to us than our own pleasure. A little girl lay dying. The family was gathered around her bed, weeping and crying and in much sorrow. The dear, sweet little girl said, "Mother, do you not know that I shall soon be with the angels? I'm soon going to look into the face of Jesus, and I'm not going to have any more pain or any more suffering. If you love me, Mother, you would rejoice to think that I shall be away from all this weakness and pain and heartache and suffering. If you love me, Mother, you'd be glad to think that your child will soon be in glory." The little girl's words tell us what Jesus meant when he told his disciples of his soon departure. If you love me very much, if you love me, not merely my presence and the comforts that I bring you, but if you love me, you would say, "Blessed Lord, we readily deny ourselves of your physical presence and the joy that it brings, for it is better for you to go and be with the Father. It's more glorious for you to be in heaven than here, and therefore we do rejoice in your exaltation." When Jesus left his disciples, he took upon himself the glory that he had laid aside, the glory that he had had with God the Father before the world was. He resumed all of that when he entered into heaven. When he entered heaven after being away for some 33 and a half years, the Father said, "Let all the angels worship him." And they adored him, and they sang new songs. And from the golden streets of heaven, all of heaven rang out, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna," as Christ went over and sat down on his throne. No more bloody sweat, no more cruel spear, no more dark and lonesome tomb, no more crown of thorns. He is exalted above all exaltation, higher than all the kings of the earth, far above all principalities and powers, and every name that is named. The disciples were bound to be glad if they loved Christ. Although they could no longer enjoy his company, they could no longer sit at the table and eat with him, they could no longer walk through the streets of Jerusalem with him, he was gone. He has gone to be with his glory. So the disciples were constrained to rejoice, because they knew it was far better that he go back to heaven. Now suppose that you're going to be laid aside and afflicted and troubled, and it should be God's intent for you to become more useful for his service, so he has to do a work in you. If you truly loved him, you would rejoice at whatever he's got to do, so you'd be a better Christian, a better servant. You will accept chastisement with thankfulness and say, "Lay on the stripes, multiply the pain, only fashion me that I may glorify you, O my blessed Savior." Many of us need to pray this prayer this morning. Lord, make me glad or make me sad, so long as you are exalted. Let me be in your presence or out of your presence, just as long as you are exalted. Lay your Bibles down, please, and pick up your hymnals. I'll ask Jay and the instrumentalists to come. And turn in your hymnal to page 183. We're going to sing this song, and I want you to, can you sing it from your hearts? Can you truly mean it as we sing this song? And then we'll go into, I'll come and have prayer, and we'll go into our invitation. Would you turn to that hymnal, please, Jay?
Hymn number 183, Oh, How I Love Jesus.